smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, number 15 for March 6, 2008. I'm Fred Green. Today, we're going to ask Kenny. The goal of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf is to provide you with inside information about specific golf gear, answer your questions about what to look for when you're buying new golf products, and talk to industry experts regarding the latest trends in technology. If you need help with specific questions about your specific needs, we've got Kenny Nicholson, technical specialist at edwinwattsgolf.com, here to help. To submit your question, please go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the button labeled Ask Kenny. If we use your question on the show, we'll send you a free Golf Better Edwin Watts Golf hat. Hey, Kenny, do we have Golf Better hats?
They should be here any day. We have actually got them on order, and they should be here hopefully by the end of the week.
Ask Kenny is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf and edwinwattsgolf.com. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, Fred. How you like the new sound?
Oh, man. You are just... We're in the same room.
I love it.
Just 3,000 miles apart. Awesome. Yeah. You got a microphone and a new computer with a decent sound card. You must be running a Mac all of a sudden.
I stole somebody's Mac around here.
Well, testimony to PCs. Well, we got a lot to do today. A bunch of questions have come in over the last couple of weeks, and we have product to give away, new product to announce, and a tease about the next episode, which is not going to be an Ask Kenny. Doesn't mean we want your questions to disappear. We still would like to get questions. But the first question comes in from Tom Keller, who's written to us many times from Russia. And he says, I keep getting the Edwin Watts catalog, and I'm curious. The technology is changing frequently. And is it that much better than it was 3 years ago? And is there a rule of thumb, and I'm sorry to ask you multiple questions, but it all comes from Tom. Is there a rule of thumb for buying equipment every X years? I know for me, when I need a new computer, I go about three and a half years. It's time to upgrade the computer. But what about golf equipment?
There's definitely a change in golf equipment. And really, it looks at, you got to look at what product you're wanting to change. I mean, putter technology probably doesn't change as often. 3 years is probably a rule of thumb there, as well as iron technology. I would say, you know, you're looking at probably 2 years. If you look at specific manufacturers, if you have last year's model and this year's model, they have a new iron coming out. And unless there's a drastic change to technology in that category, then probably not. Probably every couple of years. Now, driver and fairway wood technology, that does change quite a bit more often. And I would say, every year, year and a half, new technology has definitely come along that's going to benefit the consumer.
But so you're saying every couple of years, depending on which club you're buying?
Absolutely.
Just to keep your eyes open to it, I would think that if you're happy with your clubs, there's really no reason to move along, right?
Well, I mean, if you're playing them well, then chances are it's probably not. But if you look at drivers and stuff right now, I mean, what we have found is with interchangeable shaft technology, with the rule change with the USGA, size limits that they change on drivers, size limits. I mean, there's a lot of changes that take place within those categories, and it's definitely a benefit to the player.
And so to be moving forward now is a good time. And even if you say every 2 to 3 years on these clubs, technology is changing so fast, that might be different in 2 years.
That, you're correct. Absolutely.
So, Kenny, actually, that brings a question that I have for you, because the other day I was going in to my local golf retailer because I needed some balls. And I have been very fond of the Titleist NXT Tour and the Bridgestone E6. And I've been playing the Bridgestone E6 a lot more. Now, unlike golf clubs, which you can go every 2 years and stuff, golf balls seem to be evolving quickly as well. But now, the Bridgestone E6 isn't available. The Titleist NXT Tour isn't available. They've upgraded it. Is it still the right ball for me? And what does that mean to the changes for someone who just has to buy balls frequently?
I mean, to me, I just look at what golf ball I'm playing the best with, how it feels to me. Is it soft? Does it have a lot of spin around the greens? Can I work it? Things like that. But you're right, though, with dimple patterns, with compression ratios, the golf ball industry is changing quite rapidly. And sometimes what you find is the ball that you might like might not be available, but I guarantee you that manufacturer has made a better golf ball in that same category, whether it's a premium, mid-range or low-range golf ball.
Well, then that brings me to my question. So if I'm using an E6 and very comfortable and happy with an E6, should I go with the E6 Plus?
That's exactly what I would look at going with. You know, buy a dozen, try them, and see if you like them. Like the NXT Tour, they changed from
the
really
Tour
03
Extreme, right?
Yeah, to 05 and now the 07 golf ball, which is available. So anytime they usually stay within the same family. They just make something that performs a little bit better than it used to, whether it's going to be less spin off the driver, more spin off the driver, a little bit softer elastomer cover, whatever you're looking for in that category. They just try to make that a little bit better.
Okay. Because I was kind of perplexed and confused about it and like, oh, I like those golf balls. Now what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, the simple answer there is the E6 Plus. I've hit the E6 and I've hit the E6 Plus, and I can definitely tell a little bit of a difference, and it is a better golf ball.
Okay, great. So, but before they disappear, do you guys have any of the E6s left that I can buy cheap?
I've got plenty of the E6 Plus, and I have plenty of the E6.
Are they on sale?
They're $19.99 a dozen.
Oh, see, we'll talk after the show because I'm gonna scoop those up because I still like that ball.
And whereas the E6 Plus is $24.99, so I mean, now's the time to get some of the E6 and hold on to them. When we run out of those, obviously the E6 Plus is where you want to go.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep this page over here because I want to talk to you afterwards about making an order from you. Okay, so let's go to question number two. This one comes from Rob Hensel in San Bruno, California. It says, I keep hitting a lot of golf balls to the right, more with my woods than my irons. What can I do to fix the problem?
Practice and lessons.
Or the other way around, lessons and then practice.
Lessons and practice. The simple answer there is, do you have the right driver? Obviously, with new technology that has changed over the last couple of years with drivers, a lot of manufacturers make drivers that are called draw drivers, or you can have the interchangeable weight technology where you can put more weight towards the heel of the toe and less weight on the toe, and that helps close it down at impact. So what you tend to find is somebody that typically leaves the, if you're a right-handed golfer, that is, and you typically leave the driver out to the right or you play a slice, that's going to help close the club at impact. It's going to bring the club or bring the ball back to the left a little bit more and possibly get you in the fairway or in the short grass.
Interesting.
That's where technology and drivers has changed a lot, you know, with these interchangeable weights and draw bias drivers.
Right.
It's going to help that guy out quite a bit.
Awesome. Well, there you go, Rob. And you can call Kenny about that to talk about it further. But actually, Jose Kuhn of Silva, North Carolina, kind of follows it up. He says he just bought himself the Adams Insight BTY 8.5 degree driver and loves it. It's the first 460cc driver that he feels good about. He used to hit the Wilson PD5 8.5 and a 10.5 degree driver. He got them both. But on tight courses, he'd take out his 10.5. And then on a course where there's some more grip it and rip it par fives, he'd go with his 8.5. So he carried two drivers in his bag. But his question is this. I want to have a more forgiving driver in my bag. Should I go with the BTY 10.5 or another Insight driver?
Yeah, well, he's got, I mean, is the question correct or where he says he has the Wilson in the 10.5 and the BTY in the 8.5?
He has the Adams BTY 8.5, and in the Wilson he has both the 8.5 and the 10.5.
Yeah, if he's not happy with the 10.5 and the Wilson, the BTY is a great driver. Adams makes a terrific product. It would behoove him to try that driver in a 10.5. To be more consistent with it on tighter golf courses. If he can play that 8.5 in the BTY, I would think that he would be able to play the 10.5 degree fairly easy. 8.5 is kind of difficult for a lot of people to play just because the loft being so low, it creates a little more side spin. A lot of people can't keep it in play. as well as trajectory. So anytime you add loft, you add forgiveness. So I would definitely give the BTY a shot.
All right. Very good. Ken Schreck of Clinton Township, Michigan, he's interested in getting a new lob wedge. Now, the Cleveland CG12 with the DSG grind sounds really interesting. However, it looks like it only comes in the raw finish, and he's not really thrilled about that because the rust that occurs on those clubs. Do you know if it comes in other finishes or if there are plans to offer it in other finishes?
The good news is they make it now. They make it in a chrome version, and they also make it in a black pearl, which is kind of like a gunmetal. So either one of those is not going to rust. Just make sure you always dry them off, especially if you play in damp conditions or when it's wet. But, yeah, they offer it in other versions besides the RTG, which stands for Raw Tour Grind, which is going to give you a rustic look. So it is available. We have it in stock, $109.99, in either version, the chrome or the black metal, black pearl.
There you go. And I know that Ken has received a Golf Smarter hat in the past, but since we're getting Golf Better hats, we're going to be able to send him one when they come in as well. But we're going to start limiting, because some people write multiple questions and very good questions. That's why we choose them. But we're going to limit those Golf Better hats to one per person. We're not going to send a lot out because we're doing so many more questions these days. Hey, Paul Landicho of Tokyo is writing to us and wants to know about cleaning his clubs from the driving range. It's an interesting question. He says, can you tell me an easy way to remove the thin rubber film that builds up on the bottom of my clubs from the rubber tees when practicing at the driving range? I've tried a nylon brush from my local golf shop, which doesn't do anything. The only way I've been able to do it so far is with my fingernail, and that's not really that effective.
What we use here most of the time when we're cleaning a golf club is mineral spirits. It tends to take off any tee marks on the bottom of the golf club or sometimes you get the range balls, whether they have black or red or whatever color stripe they have on them. You typically get that on the golf club as well, and mineral spirits does a great job of getting that off.
Excellent. And again, thank you so much for writing to us, Paul, all the way from Tokyo. I love that stuff. So much better than radio. Richard Hickey from Lanconia, New Hampshire. What is the difference between forged, flow forged, and cast club? Is flow forged, cast, or forge, or is it simply the term used to reference the kind of steel used in the process of club making and not really a process at all?
Yeah, it's a good question. Flow forged, there's really two types of forging. You have regular forged golf clubs and then what they call grain flow forging. And typically what you do when you forge a golf club, you heat the metal up, not to a liquid form, but enough to where you can actually work the metal a little bit and basically bend it into a shape that it needs to be in. But metal has grain in it, just like if you look at a tree trunk, whenever you cut a tree, it has that same type grain in it. So what they typically do is in grain flow forging, they look at that grain through X-ray or what have you, and they actually bend the golf club in the same direction as the grain flows. So what you have is a more stable golf club, more perfect golf club at the end result. Something to look at. Some manufacturers, especially like Mizuno, has grain flow forging in their golf clubs. Other manufacturers do as well. And it's just taking a little bit extra step in the forging process. Typically, it tends to be a little bit softer in feel. And you can actually work the golf club on a bending machine if you need to, if you have to adjust lie angle or loft on the golf club. And a cast golf club, as we've mentioned before, is basically metal is heated to a liquid form, poured into a cast mold, and then cooled. And what you have is a golf club that has been cast. But typically what you find with cast golf clubs is they can be a little bit harder, especially on miss hits, off-center hits. You can feel this feels, you know, definitely a little bit harder than it does on a forged golf club. But the majority of the golf clubs that are mass produced out there are in the cast form, but manufacturers have done a great job with the polymer inserts and the elastomer that they use to dampen vibration and make it feel a lot more like a forged golf club.
Kenny, I'm going to play dumb here for a second because I am. A term that you use frequently is soft. And you just used it in terms of the feel of a club. We've used it multiple times in the feel of a ball. And we also talk about it in reference to grips. How soft is too soft, and how important is it? And is it more about my hands than anything else? I mean, there's a lot of uses for the word soft here, and where should we really be looking? I mean, you're a single-digit player, and I'm far from that. I'm just trying to get a grasp on what exactly it is that you were talking about.
Well, I mean, too soft, in my opinion, everybody's opinion can be a little bit different, but too soft would be able to not be able to feel where you've made a mistake, whether you've hit it out towards the toe, towards the heel, or bladed it just a little bit. That would be too soft. You want to have some type of a response where you know what you've done wrong. And typically you won't find a golf ball that's going to be too soft. But for some people that create a lot of spin when they're hitting to the greens, too soft of a golf ball is actually going to spin too much. They might hit a sand wedge up there and actually spin it off the green or what have you. And for some people, too soft when you're right around the greens chipping and putting, a lot of people can have a golf ball that's too soft, as in they feel like they hit it a little bit too hard because of the softness of the golf ball, and they're either putting it by the hole 5 feet or not chipping it very well. So it's a personal preference there. I like a golf ball that's definitely soft to me, not too soft, but one that I can feel and work around the greens, and not one that, in my opinion, plays like what I consider a brick or a rock hard golf ball. To me, I don't like something that's real, real hard.
But the real hard ones are people who are trying to get extra distance and not necessarily have as much control?
Yeah, I mean, when you play in these Saturday or Sunday scrambles sometimes, and people are switching golf balls between the tee ball and what ball they're hitting to the greens, the common reference there is, let me go pull a rock out of my bag for this long par 5 or par 4 where I've got to hit something a long way. Typically, those golf balls can go a little bit further because they are harder, but for the average to better player, he definitely might not want to use that hitting it into the greens because it doesn't create as much spin and it's harder to hold.
And getting that spin on the ball is more of pinching the ball, hitting the ball, then the turf, and getting that pinch to it than just sweeping through it, right?
Yeah, correct. Some people just do not have the golf swing to create a lot of spin. Typically what you find when you hit down on the golf ball and you create a divot, what you've done is you've compressed that golf ball and you've created spin. Some people basically what we call they pick it clean, where they don't take a very big divot. And sometimes that might not create as much spin because you have not compressed the golf ball as much. If you remember, Payne Stewart was a great what I call picker of the golf ball. He hardly ever hit a divot, but he still had spin. He knew how to work it. But typically on iron shots, when you're hitting down on the golf ball and taking a divot, you have compressed it and you have created some spin.
I am just starting to get the feel. I've been playing for a decade now, and I'm just starting to get the feel of what it is to get a good divot out of it. I don't know if I'm seeing the results of any spin on the ball yet. That I notice, but I am feeling like, okay, I really hit that well, I hit it solidly, and I'm getting a better sense of hitting it off the toe or the heel or something.
Yeah, you'll definitely be able to feel if you've missed it towards the toe or towards the heel, especially on a hard golf ball. Yeah, you're definitely going to be able to tell, but a soft golf ball, you don't want it too soft where you won't know where you've made your miss. But, anytime you're starting to take a divot, you're definitely starting to increase compression.
And then when we talk about soft in the terms of the golf ball, what is the life expectancy, or maybe not the life expectancy, the shelf life of, does that mean it's a softer cover so that it's going to dent more, it's going to create more blemishes, that it's going to shorten the life of the golf ball?
No, I mean, old golf balls, when I'm going back to like the Tour Bellottas, when Bellotta was a big name in golf balls, it was real soft. Boy, if you mishit it, you put what we call a smiley face on it. You could have a brand new golf ball, hit it one time with a sand wedge and blade it, and all of a sudden the ball's ripped and you can't use it at all. The new elastomer covers that they use on golf balls, the longevity is incredible. As far as shelf life goes, there's no, I don't know of any study where they've looked at shelf life on golf balls and determined, hey, after so many years, this golf ball has really lost a lot of its performance values. So, and I don't know a lot of people that keep that many dozen golf balls around. if they're that good of a player where they don't lose that many on the golf course, then It's something that I definitely would not worry about.
Do you try to take out a new sleeve every time you tee up on a new round?
Absolutely not. I don't take out a new sleeve. I basically play what's in the bag. If I have a new sleeve, I'll definitely pull it out. But I definitely just play what's in the bag.
Until you lose the ball.
Yeah, I mean, if I've scuffed a ball up, I'll definitely toss it or give it to my daughter, who I might add real quick, give her a plug. She made her middle school golf team as a sixth grader. Holly,
all right.
I'm very proud of you.
So, good girl, Holly. That's awesome.
Yeah, she's pretty stoked. So,
yeah.
But, if I've scuffed it, I'll just pull out a new golf ball. But I'll play a golf ball for a couple of rounds. It's no problem.
All right. Well, those were asides that I was actually curious about recently. The deeper I get into this stuff, the more I learn. I just continue to have more questions. So, and what's really being talked about a lot now, especially since the PGA show and this new equipment's being announced, are these interchangeable shafts. And hopefully soon we'll have on the show, we'll get an engineer to come on and talk more about the advantages of this. I kind of grinded you, and when we were doing our year in review, we were talking about this, I really didn't understand, and so I asked a lot of probing questions about it. But Dennis Caskey from Caledonia, Michigan, who I think is a club builder himself because his URL is buildyourgolfclubs.com. He wants to know about these interchangeable shaft technologies. Can these new shafts be spine aligned or pured, or do they lock into a specific position?
That's a very good question, but the shafts with the new interchangeable shaft technology, they actually lock into a specific position. So in order to get, the shaft comes with a grip pre-installed, and obviously the graphics are aligned with that grip. So there's a certain position at which the shaft has to be put into the golf club to make all of that align whenever you get it together. So as far as puring goes, no, it can't be pured because it's already been gripped and everything, and it has the adapter on the end of the shaft that either has to have a torque wrench to attach it to the club head or some type of hex screw.
Now,
so that's a very good question.
Right, and clearly it's coming from somebody who makes a living out of building clubs, and I know that you are not in that business. You're in the business of selling brand-name products, but do you think this is going to have an impact on the independent club fitters?
No, it's not at all. The reason I say that, the independent club fitter actually fits a guy for a golf club. And specifically, that has a lot to do with iron technology. So he still takes care of every bit of that, whether a guy needs 2 degrees flat and half an inch off or a smaller grip or what have you. They take care of all of that. And as far as shaft technology goes, he can fit the guy whether he has a launch monitor or not. You can tell, what shaft he needs to put in that golf club, which one performs best for him. So when he buys one of these new drivers, he's been fitted for the proper shaft, so he knows exactly what he needs to buy. I'll go ahead and tell you, with the new iMix technology with Callaway, they offer over 70 shafts for these golf clubs that we're going to stock. They're on our website right now. Just type in iMix in the search box, and you'll be able to see what I'm looking at in this new FTI head and FT5 head, and then all the shafts that are available. If you don't know something about the shaft technology, it's going to be hard for you to try to figure out exactly what shaft's going to fit right for you, and that's where you're going to need a club fitter or somebody to talk to. One of our sales professionals can definitely get you into the right shaft because they know every one of these shafts, whether it is a low to mid flex point, what the trajectory is supposed to be on say you hit a real high, have a real high ball flight with a driver, they're going to know which shaft to get you in to bring that trajectory down just a little bit and create a little bit less spin. So, the club fitter should be fine here.
I must be missing something or just too skeptical for my own good, but are these interchangeable shafts, they're not for irons, right? They're just for the drivers and woods.
They're only for drivers.
Only
right
for
now.
Drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that kind of makes sense. But is this more? I feel like I'm being mean and rude.
Play devil's advocate. That's what it's all about.
Is this more for the manufacturer? Is this more for the consumer? Really, is the consumer? Because it's going to. I think it makes it more confusing.
No, it really doesn't, and the reason there's a couple of different things you can look at here. One, a guy that's a fairly good golfer and he knows that he hits the ball high, And in a specific driver, and he buys it that way, where it's, you know, when I say he knows he hits it high, typically what you find is when you add trajectory, you add forgiveness, for the most part. And if he's going to go play a course that's wide open, like the gentleman spoke about earlier, where he wants to bring the trajectory down and just grip it and rip it, he can buy one of these new drivers for $400 or $500. And then instead of having to buy a new driver that hits the ball lower and he can grip it and rip it, just like the gentleman asked earlier, he can buy just a new shaft and put this shaft in the driver and bring the trajectory down quite a bit. So there's a lot of different things to look at here. I think it's going to be a huge plus for the consumer, because the shaft is the engine that drives the machine. If you have a Corvette with a small, let's say a Volkswagen motor in it, it's not going to perform like it's supposed to. Getting the right shaft in the driver to make it perform the way that you want it to is the huge plus here. And they're going to have a plethora of shafts to choose from.
Hmm.
All right. There's a lot to it. It's new technology. I can sit here and we can talk about it for a long time. I did go to the driving range last week and try out the new drivers. The FTI and the FT5 with multiple shaft changes, and a lot of them made a huge difference in the golf club. If I wanted one with a low kick point and a high trajectory, I put it in there, and definitely saw a huge difference. And then let's say I went with a shaft that had a mid to high flex point and a low trajectory and put it in the same golf club that was just hitting it high. Now I've got a golf club that's now hitting it medium to low.
Okay, so I mean, did you like it?
I liked it a lot, just because, you know, let's just say 6 months or a year from now, I'm hitting this driver not as good as I once was. I'm hitting it too high now because my swing's changed, or I'm actually going after it quite a bit more and I don't have enough torque and I'm hooking or slicing the golf ball. All I have to do is buy a new shaft and I've changed the whole dynamics of the golf club. I have a whole new golf club.
All right. Take yourself out of this is difficult because you've done this for a long time. Take yourself out of the business for a minute. Would you buy it?
There is a price point involved there.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, if I'm the type of guy that buys a new driver every 12 to 18 months and I'm spending $300 or $400 on each one of those, it's something I would definitely consider.
Okay.
Because the end result is I might have less money and better technology at the end of the day.
All right, so you're saying if it's a dollar and cent situation, then you'd consider it, you know, if you purchase. And I know guys who just love buying the new drivers that, you know, when they come out, they think I got to get this thing. They would do that. But if you're a single digit player, you would also consider, because the amount of rounds that you play in the year. But if you're playing once a month, if you're playing 15 rounds a year, would you buy it? Or is it a money situation?
It's just a money issue for the most part, especially, you know, where we're at right now. There's definitely a consumer out there that's going to love this product. The guy that doesn't want to spend, but, you know, $200 or $250 on his driver, it might not be the one for him. But I'm just telling you, you know, when it's all said and done, you even though you have the same head, if you have two shafts for these new drivers and you've got a total of $600 in it, then you're still 2 years down the road, you've only got $600, where that same guy might have bought two drivers by now and he's got $500 or $600 in those two drivers. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it.
If you're the type
of guy that likes to buy new products every 12 to 18 months, then I would definitely consider these new products. Hey, I'll go ahead and tell you, TaylorMade CGB Max Limited. It's a new driver that's coming out. It comes with three shafts, which they're all high-end, the Rombacks, the Diamani, and I think there's another shaft that comes with it. I'm not sure which one. That driver is going to sell for $999.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
A single club.
One single golf club. It's called the CGB Max Tour Limited.
Okay, and this has interchangeable shafts?
It has interchangeable shafts. It's the only driver that they're doing right now with interchangeable shaft technology.
And how many shafts do you get for $1,000?
You get three shafts in the head. Now, the three shafts, if you buy them separately are extremely expensive. You know, if you net it all down, it's a better buy at $999 to get the head and the three shafts. If you had to buy them all separately, you would pay more than that. So, I mean, that's just where the technology is, and price, that's not going to be the driver for everybody out there.
Right, right. All right, well, you know, I guess I'm going to have to see it for myself. Although, when I talk to people about getting a new computer, we talked about you working on a Mac today, you know, it's like people, well, Macs are so expensive. Well, you know, listen, you can run Windows or you can run a Mac operating system on the same machine, so you're getting two machines for the price of one. It really is a great value proposition here. So I don't know. I still need to be convinced. Maybe if I get a chance to play with one, I'll see the difference. And I think more so when we get to talk to an engineer who can really describe the value of these things, it'll teach me
that's,
more.
That's true. I mean, a lot of people that play golf have computers, and you know, after, I mean, in the computer industry, 18 to 24 months, you've almost antiquated. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's
well,
golf
listen, this
technology.
Is a podcast. Everybody here's got a computer, so
yeah. So, I mean, everybody knows. I mean, golf technology is the same way, and the same in any electronics. I mean, stuff changes at a rapid pace. The
now
thing
more
is,
than ever.
You just have to consider whether or not it's changed enough for you.
Right. And if you know, if you can afford to do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing golf really, really good and you're hitting all your products really, really good, then, you know, you're just wanting to gain 3 or 4 yards with your driver, is it worth it?
Right. And if you don't have little kids at home and your wife's going, no, we need to buy shoes for Tommy, you got to worry about those things as well. Keep everything in balance, please. Not even going to touch that. Okay, so let's go ahead and give something away here. the Cleveland the HiBor XLS products are awesome, and the Cleveland HiBor XLS Hybrid is what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. We're going to be giving one away right now. We've received 261 entries over the last few weeks, and you, my friend, are in charge of selecting the winner between number 1 and 261, and your selection is what?
42.
That's a nice low number. And number 42 is going to be from Carlsbad, California, home of many golf club manufacturers.
Yeah. He's right there in the heart of it.
Yep. And also the home of a couple of golf courses that are getting a lot of attention these days, aren't they?
They definitely are.
Yeah.
Tell you what, Carlsbad is a beautiful place. I've been out there a few times and really like it.
Really beautiful. Hey, Aiden Nuttall is our winner. Aiden, congratulations. You are going to be receiving a Cleveland HiBor XLS Hybrid, and you have many options, so make sure that you communicate with Kenny, and Kenny will communicate with you about getting the club that you want to put in your bag. Congratulations, Aiden Nuttall.
Yeah, congratulations. I dare him to go out there and play Mount Woodson with it.
Woo.
That's one of the shortest tracks I've ever played, and I wanted to quit golf when I got done.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's one of those courses where you stand on the tee box and you look 360 degrees and you're like, where is the fairway?
Oh, my.
The guy, cart guy drives up to us and says, guys, obviously you've never played here before. You're going to have to concentrate on that hole marker, which gives you the layout of the hole to figure out where to play. I would love to go back and play it, but if you've never played it and you're playing with three other guys that have never played it, it can be kind of fun.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting. All right. Well, we've got another drawing coming up in a couple weeks. We'll publish a new show on March 20th. What are we going to be giving away?
I've got a new product here that's actually pretty nice. We talk about wedges a lot, but the new Wilson TW7 wedge, loft of your choice. Everybody can always use a new wedge. So.
Sure.
Somebody will be a lucky winner of one of these.
So you can choose a lot of bounce to it if you want a sand wedge, or you can just get a lob wedge type of thing. 60.
You can get a gap wedge, sand wedge,
sure,
lob
sure.
wedge, whatever you're looking for.
And is it in the catalog? Can we look at it on the catalog?
It's a new product. They do have an older TW7, but it's a new one for this year. So
wow. It
has kind of a gunmetal finish to it. Just a really, really traditional looking wedge. You know, something that wedges are like putters. They got to look good to you, and this one looks incredible.
Awesome. All right. Well, deadline for entry is Tuesday, the 18th of March, 2008. And to enter, please go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the tab labeled contest. Once you're there, just fill out the shipping information and the verification code and click submit. Now, we want to remind everybody that we've made a slight change as far as you getting your 10% discount, which is still available. And as a listener to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf or at Golf Smarter, you receive 10% off any purchase and you get free shipping for your order. Some restrictions apply. But please be aware that we are now changing the code that you need to fill in for your discount. We're going to be changing it every few months so that you can get your 10% savings. To get more information about that, go to golfbetterpodcast.com. And there's some underlined words that says, click here for more info, and it'll provide you all the full instructions on how to obtain your 10% off. Now, the discount code for now through June 1st, 2008 is GSMART1, G-S-M-A-R-T number 1, and that will get you your 10% discount, correct?
That is correct. Now, is that case sensitive?
No, it's not.
Okay.
I don't think it is.
I don't think we did it that way. I was just making sure. I didn't know if you knew something that I didn't.
No. It's your house, man.
And everybody's welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Please, shop on by. All right. So coming up a couple weeks, we are going to be doing another episode, but this is not going to be an Ask Kenny. Is that true?
That is true.
We're going to go back to the original format of Golf Better, and we're going to have an engineer on. Can you give us a tease of who it might be?
Yeah, we've got Rock Ishii with Nike Golf that's going to join us for the show, and he is the director of golf ball product development, which, you know, golf balls was something we talked about on this show, and he's going to be able to answer 100% of those questions that we had today. So
awesome.
It's going to be a special guest. Really looking forward to it. Every time we have one of these guys on, I learn more and more about golf ball products, golf club products, things I thought I knew that maybe I didn't. So I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, and if you've downloaded this episode of Golf Better rapidly as it was published, and it is going to be published on Thursday, March 6th, we're going to be recording this conversation right at the beginning of next week. So if you have some questions, please get them to us as quickly as you possibly can. And if you've missed that deadline, I'm sorry, we are recording it in advance of the publication of the show. But we will try to keep you updated on which guests will be coming in. And it's very cool, Kenny. You've been getting some manufacturers who are writing to you saying, we want to be on the Golf Better podcast.
We're excited to say that we've got a lot of the manufacturers that are going to be joining us for the podcast. I'm really excited about it. A lot of the big companies have already marked some dates that we're going to be doing, all of them coming up fairly soon. So something we're real excited about, and you guys should be too.
And we'd like to thank you for listening and encourage you to tell your friends about the Golf Better podcast and implore you to write a review in iTunes or wherever you found this show. Also, if you're not aware of the Golf Smarter blog, it's really an effective way to get your questions answered by Kenny. Last week, you were asked a specific question about golf balls, and you answered it right on the blog for everyone to see. That was awesome.
I enjoyed it. It answers a lot. It answers the question, but the answer is seen by a lot more people. So that's very good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, great. All right, well, the Golf Smarter blog will provide you with information about all of our golf podcasts and added goodies like getting Kenny to answer your questions and great golf photos that have been sent in by listeners. Hey, Kenny, thanks again, buddy. We'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Fred. Take care, buddy.
And we also want to say that if you're new to the program, welcome. Please make sure that you sign up for your free subscription so that you don't miss an episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf.